Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. And we're going to have a really interesting day today. A little farther down the road in this hour, in this first hour, Jim Suess is going to be with us, the executive director of the New Jersey chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations, about the five guys who were convicted yesterday for talking about attacking Fort Dix and are now facing life in prison. In our second hour, who do you tip and how much? This is actually, I think for a lot of people, a scratch-your-head moment. In the third hour, Sandra Swirsky is going to be with us, the president of the Philanthropy Collaborative. Who needs your help, and how do you make those kind of decisions? And, of course, a lot of the news of the day as we continue through the day. But right now, the economy is in the tank. One of the things that, of all the things that, arguably everybody except a few crazed leftover supply-siders agrees on, is that the major driver of an economy, the major creator of demand, is wages. That when people are employed, particularly working people who spend the vast majority of their money on, well, they spend the vast majority of their money, period. When working people are employed and are employed well, they buy things, and in the process of buying things, they create demand for things, which creates an opening and an opportunity for entrepreneurs and businesses to say, hey, you know, there's a lot of people out there who want to buy a so-and-so. Why don't we make it and sell it to them? So it's not that, you know, rich people get a tax break and say, hey, I think I'll build a factory to make widgets. Now, I don't care if anybody wants to buy them or not. I think I'll make them. That's not how it works. The way it works is people have jobs. As a consequence of their having jobs, they have money in their pocket. With the money in their pocket, they start buying things. That creates demand, and businesses react to that demand by supplying supply. So, you know, it's a very simple equation. And so one of our goals should be, both in government policy and in personal policy, let's get as many people employed in this country as possible. Let's have our own personal pushback against, as it were, this what it looks like it may become the second Republican Great Depression in the last 100 years. But amid the economic wreckage, there are still many sectors that are hiring. There are still a lot of jobs out there. Keep in mind, even during the last Republican Great Depression, 2/3 of America was working. A lot of them were entrepreneurs. So Wendy Gelberg is with us. She's a certified career coach. Her website is gentlejobsearch.com. Hey, Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Thanks. Great to have you with us. One of the things that you point out is that a measurable percentage, a significant percentage of people who are out looking for jobs might be brilliant at doing the job, but they're not particularly good at getting the job because their personality predisposes them to, well, basically they're introverts. They're people who are a little shy, a little quiet, and while that may be the perfect, you know, personality type for a bookkeeper, for example, or for a whole lot of things, actually, It's not the perfect personality type for looking for a job. Those folks need a little extra coaching.
It's really true. In fact, I was even talking with an extrovert the other day, somebody who's a recruiter, and she was saying, even as an extrovert, she hates the job search process. It requires a whole different set of skills than the ones that most of us, even extroverts, typically use on the job.
Yeah. And then there, of course, is that middle ground. I mean, I was always shy as a kid, and I'm an introvert by any standard. I take the
Jungian.
Yeah, the Myers-Briggs. Yeah. Thank you. I'm like off the scale, you know, as an introvert. But when I was a kid, when I was 18, 19, 20, I forget which year it was, I took a Dale Carnegie course and learned how to pretend to be an extrovert. I worked in radio, although there's a lot of introverts in radio. You find the extroverts on TV, the introverts are in radio because they can hide behind the microphone. Nobody can see them. But I learned how to pretend I'm an extrovert. I got quite good at it, actually. And that's a skill set that I have to intentionally turn on. And what you're talking about is teaching introverts how to do that.
Exactly. And you can do it without fundamentally altering your personality. It really is just learning different skills and learning when to apply them.
Right. So how, what are some of these skills, and what's your advice for people who may find, you know, they may be brilliant environmental engineers or they might be great computer programmers, but, you know, in the job of looking for a job, they A, have no training, B, don't feel personally disposed to it, their personality doesn't quite match it, and C, they just find it a brutal, terrifying, awful thing to do.
It is. And what I think makes it especially brutal and terrifying and awful is that probably the most important strategy and skill involves networking. And, of course, that's the one thing people are just most terrified of. So I would say learning better networking skills, getting a better understanding of what that is, and learning to do it as an introvert and not necessarily trying to mimic extroverts in the way that they do it is the most important thing that people can do.
What does that look like, Wendy? What does it sound like? How would that behavior feel to the average person
when
they're doing it?
From my standpoint, it involves, number one, concentrating on the one-on-one relationships. And introverts can be very good with one-on-one. It's the group situations that are most intimidating, I think, for introverts, just because they're very draining for introverts, where extroverts are energized being among lots and lots of people. So I would say if somebody's more on the introverted end of the spectrum, to avoid the group situations as much as possible, probably not possible totally, but focus on building and maintaining relationships one-on-one and putting really a lot of energy into that, and that's probably something that most of us don't spend enough time on, not even just as a job search skill, but just as a career management and life skill.
Right, but to take that from the abstract to the specific, say you've got somebody who has a degree in, you know, pick something. I mentioned environmental engineering before. And they're not, you know, and they just find the idea of knocking on doors and selling themselves to be agonizing. What do they do?
One of the keys is to turn it around, and instead of going out into the world with your hand out and, you know, your little beggar's cup, you know, I need something from other people. If you go out into the world as a resource for other people, look around, see who needs information or referrals or whatever that you can provide, and that's a much more comfortable orientation for most of us. So the environmental engineer has tons of expertise that he or she can offer to others who need that. And so maybe participating in some online forums or doing some, you know, networking through some of the social and professional websites like Facebook and LinkedIn, and just making contact with other people, finding out how you can be of help to them, and just making yourself available to people in that way, which is something people are most comfortable with anyway. They're comfortable with the content that they're expert in. They're just not comfortable in the, as you said, going around and knocking on doors.
Now, there's one. We're talking with Wendy Gelberg, a certified career coach. GentleJobSearch.com is her website. There's one particular dimension, I guess, of this that was pretty unknown in the 60s and early 70s, became, and this is the internship, in the 70s and 80s and 90s became kind of a lightly paid way of getting experience in the field that sometimes led to a job. In the 90s became a free way, in other words, not free to the worker, but free to the employer, way to get basically cheap labor from the employer's point of view, but a way to get experience. And now I understand that there are even employers who are asking people to pay them to do an internship. It's like, you know, we will sell you job experience. How has the internship morphed over the years? Is my characterization accurate, or is it just what I'm observing in the radio business? And how should how can people use that in the minute we have left here in this segment, Wendy?
I think it's very important for people to get as much real life experience as possible. So anytime there is an opportunity, whether you get paid or you pay them, if it's basically going to add to your credentials and to your credibility, that's become an important sales piece really for employers when they're evaluating candidates to see that they have the real life experience.
So
I think its importance has really grown.
So what about back in the 20s, Dale Carnegie talked about this, you know, just walk into an employer and say, hey, can I help out for free for a while? I just want to learn your business.
Yeah.
Is that an okay thing to do these days?
I don't know that you can get into the front door as readily as perhaps you used to be able to, but I have heard of people doing things like that.
Mm.
I just think there are more barriers now. There are more literally security guards and gatekeepers that will make it a little bit harder to do.
We're talking with Wendy Gelberg, certified career coach, gentlejobsearch.com. Wendy, mind if I toss this open to my listeners?
Oh, sure.
If you have a question for Wendy Gelberg about how to get a job, what are the best ways to get out there in the job market, give us a call at 866-303-2270, and we'll see what comes out of this. Wendy Gelberg with us, gentlejobsearch.com. It's the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
It is now officially the last minute for Christmas shopping, but ProFlowers has you covered with a fantastic deal on two Christmas bouquets. ProFlowers has extended last week's deal on their exclusive Christmas tulips until Tuesday, so you get 15 red and white Christmas tulips mixed with fragrant Douglas fir in a free glass vase, all for just $29.99. Or for just $10 more, get 30% more tulips and a festive keepsake candy cane striped vase. That's an incredible value and over $15 in savings for this colorful bouquet and premium holiday vase. This bouquet says Christmas. Its colors and pine scents get you in the holiday spirit. Pro Flowers sent me one of these beautiful bouquets. Not only was it beautiful, but it smelled amazing, too. So order your Christmas tulips now at ProFlowers.com. Find the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, click it, and just type in my password, Hartman. That's ProFlowers.com or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 800-PRO-FLOWERS. And don't forget to use my code Hartman with two N's. Remember, order by 6 p.m. tonight to guarantee Christmas Eve delivery. Order now.
Ed Schultz.
The biggest story on the face of this earth is America. What do you really think of your workers?
Noon to 3.
The partisan divide is alive and well. The attack on the working folk of America is now in full gear. What's the difference between the governor of Illinois selling off a Senate seat?
The Ed Schultz Show.
And some southern Republican senator protecting his backside for the next election?
Noon to 3.
By cutting the head off American auto manufacturer.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Bring the holidays home. Choose local. It's more important than ever to support our local economy. The Sustainable Business Network of Portland encourages you to choose locally owned businesses this holiday season, like locally owned and operated New Seasons Market. When you shop locally owned businesses like New Seasons Market, more money recirculates in our economy, more jobs are created, and you preserve the quality of our neighborhoods. For a list of local businesses, go to sbnportland.org. And remember, choose local this holiday season.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-900-1665. That's 1-800-900-1665. Or go to selectquote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hi, it's Ryan Tedder from One Republic. This fall, we are headlining Tag This Tour 2008. Check out our website, onerepublic.net, for details on how you can bid on exclusive packages to our upcoming tour. The best part is, you'll be helping to save lives. All of the proceeds from these auctions will benefit the City of Hope. City of Hope aims to serve cancer patients with the latest research, treatment, compassion, and dignity. Join us in the mission to find a cure for cancer. Visit www.onerepublic.net for tour dates and information.
The best gift ever.
Brought to you by Radio Shack.
My husband is a sports fanatic, so I was thrilled when a Radio Shack associate told me about Sirius Satellite Radio, which already gets the NFL and NASCAR. Plus, when you add the Best of XM package, the NBA and NHL, too. I knew I'd found the perfect Christmas gift. Now, our car rides will be filled with slam dunks and Zambonis, everything that makes the wintertime just so delightful.
Save $30 on the Sirius Stratus 5 Dock and Play Radio. Just $39.99 when you buy a Sirius prepaid card.
Offer good through 12/24/08.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
When I saw Mommy tickle Santa Claus underneath his beard so snow white, what a laugh it would have been if Daddy'd only seen Mommy kissing Santa Claus last night. Oh, what a laugh it would have been if Daddy'd only seen.
Happy Hanukkah, a day before Christmas Eve, 2 days before Christmas. Kwanzaa's lurking around the corner here. Lots of holidays. And of course, we're, I think, 1 day away. I've got to look at the calendar. 1 day away from the solstice for the pagans among us who are celebrating the winter solstice. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Wendy Gelberg with a certified career coach, gentlejobsearch.com, her website. Wendy, we got some calls for you. Mind if we pick them up?
Great, go ahead.
Okay, Duane in Detroit. Hey, Duane, you're on the air with Wendy Gelberg.
Okay, hello. Yes, hello, Wendy and Tom. I think, Tom, you're one of the smartest guys around. I listen to you quite often.
Thank you.
my question really was surrounding how do you get a job when, let's say, you're faced with, I'll give you a little quick scenario of my story. I graduated from Michigan State as a mechanical engineer in 2000, which it was kind of hard to get engineering jobs. They were giving them, but they were real hard to get. And I ended up, 2-3 years later, getting a job with Chrysler as an electrical electrician. So now I kind of have a background in electricity and mechanical engineering as far as theory and knowledge. But technically, I haven't had a mechanical engineering job. And I don't consider myself entry-level, but even if I did consider myself entry-level, I don't have the experience of a lot of the mechanical engineering firms, but I feel like I'm highly capable of doing the work. But how do you get that across to them when they ask you for all these specifics? And it's like if you don't know the lingo, you're almost unqualified. And even if you learn it, you still knowing as an engineer, I haven't received or done any of the tests. I really don't know how to perform the test. But once I learn, I could gather the information and do it just like the rest of them.
And how do you tweak your resume to reflect all that?
Correct.
Wendy?
Well, there's a lot in that question. In some ways, you are entry-level in the mechanical engineering world, and so you are just as you would have been a couple of years ago, right out of school, selling potential. But you have an advantage over people just out of school because you do have some real work experience under your belt. You've worked with a well-respected, you know, organization. You've proven your ability to be a reliable employee who can make a contribution to the bottom line of a company. So I think that that does give you an edge over other entry-level people. But recognize that in many respects, you really still are entry-level, at least in the mechanical engineering world. As far as learning the lingo and stuff like that, some of what you might find helpful to do would be to, first of all, look at job postings very clearly. Make sure you know all of the keywords that are in the ads. Make sure you can at least point to your education as training in some of those fields, whether you or not you yet have hands-on experience in those fields. But at least you're conversant in, you're trained in a lot of those things, and that's information you want to put on the resume because to address the resume piece of it, the resume is going to be processed in all likelihood by a computer before a human being looks at it. And the computer is being told to look for certain keywords. And if they're not on your resume, you're automatically going to be in the no pile, even if you match the job. So you want to make sure that you're matching the keywords from the posting, even if it's just to say, I took a course in, and list the courses that you took so that you can do that match. I think that's probably the way I would approach it. That, you know, yes, I'm entry level in a sense, but with some proven experience behind me as well.
Duan, thanks a lot for the call and good luck.
Okay,
good luck and happy holidays, sir. Wouldn't one other thing that Duan could be considering, or somebody in his circumstance, is if any of the professional associations or any of the accreditation agencies have certifications that you can qualify for in a few months by taking a short course and getting a certification as an engineer or as an electrician or whatever, you know, getting as many of those kind of smaller credentials under your belt as possible.
You're absolutely right. And in fact, that's a really good career management skill for everybody from this point forward, making sure that your skills are absolutely as current as they possibly can be. And all kinds of organizations are offering certifications in different fields, well worth looking into those. And as you said, a lot of them are fairly short and fairly inexpensive.
Right. So is it Tamar or Tamar in Destin, Florida?
Yep, that's Tamar.
Tamar, you are listening on WNWF. Hey, Tamar, we got a minute here before we get to take a break at the bottom of the hour. Quick question for Wendy?
Yeah. I'm fortunate enough that I've been taught by my mom, who's a counselor, on how to basically switch on and off those extroverted skills. But I do know that for, like, my wife, she's also an introvert, and one of the biggest problems she has is going to a one-on-one interview where it's one person, then another person, then another person that she has to be interviewed by.
Oh,
and she just
exhausting.
Feels that she has that overwhelming nervousness and inability to speak clearly. You know what I mean?
I totally can totally relate to that. In fact, I've written a book called The Successful Introvert, and I spend a lot of time talking about interviewing, managing those back-to-back interviews, because there's an energy issue. You really are drained, introverts in particular, just wiped out after those. And the other piece of it is thinking on your feet. You know, it's hard enough to do it in one interview, but then you have the second one and the third one right after that. Introverts have a little bit of difficulty sometimes recalling their thoughts or the particular words that they want to use.
Wendy, if you can stick around after the break, perhaps you
can
offer a little bit more advice on that. And I got a bunch of other people here who have questions from Phoenix to Palm Springs, all over the country, who want to get your expertise. We're talking to Wendy Gelberg, certified career coach, GentleJobSearch.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
Happy holidays, 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Wendy Gelberg is with us, her website, GentleJobSearch.com. She's also the author of the book, The Successful Introvert, How to Enhance Your Job Search and Advance Your Career, taking your calls at 866-303-2270. And Andy in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on with Wendy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, Andy.
Good. I have a question. My wife has actually been working for the same company for 9 years in a few different positions, from human resources to buying positions and everything. And she's been looking for another job, but keeps running into a roadblock when her company actually won't accept any letters of won't write any letters of recommendation at all. And she's been the same. That's the only job she's had, you know, 9 years long. What kind of suggestions did you have for someone who can't get a letter of recommendation but keeps running into interviews where they're asking for that type of thing? Any suggestions there?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's something that's happening more and more because companies are concerned about liability, and they'll just verify that the person worked there, and they don't want to go out on a limb and give more information than that. Sometimes she can get people to offer a personal recommendation, instead of a professional one. So if she hasn't tried that angle, having people contact people through their home contact information, some people may be willing to do that, not
people
as an official representative of the company so that they're not exposing the company to liability, but just as somebody who has had the experience of working with her and knows her personally that way. So that would be one suggestion. And another one might be if she's active in any kind of volunteer activities, particularly ones that use some of her skills, that might be another place that she can get recommendations from people who have seen her, again, doing what she knows how to do and can speak to her competence and her integrity and all of those other important things.
Andy, thank you very much. Is there, Wendy, two thoughts immediately come to mind. One, contacting people within the company and asking them for a reference, which might some of them might consider that putting their job at risk, but contacting people with whom she's worked outside the company and asking for a personal reference. And three, I guess, is what about putting on a resume or saying, you know, in some way explicitly saying, my company does not provide job references to anybody who works for them, as many companies these days are doing, and so attached are personal references or something. Should she explicitly disclose that?
I think that's worth doing, absolutely, because it's not at all uncommon. Most companies, if they saw a statement like that, would say, oh, yeah, we do that too anyway. So it would be very familiar to them.
Yeah. Ron in Palm Springs, you're on with Wendy Gelberg. Ron?
Yes, I'm sorry. Hi,
hey,
Tom.
You're on the air. Hi,
Merry
Ron.
Merry Christmas, Wendy. I'm calling because I've been in the real estate business for 15 years. I'm 57 years old. And, you know, being in the business, I've been bonded, I've been fingerprinted, everything. But, of course, we all know that this industry has tanked. What other industry can I take my skills and my qualifications? I mean, I'm more than just sales. I know about contracts, some legal legalities. But the financial industry is also tanked. I can't go that direction. Do you have any ideas of, and especially someone that's 57 years old, do you have any ideas as to how I can look into the qualifications I have, both legally and just naturally being in the business so long?
Mm-hmm. I have two thoughts. One is just to do a lot of informational interviewing. Talk to people in your industry, in related industries, and ask them some of those questions because they're in a position to be able to say, you know, this particular skill set or these credentials transfer well in these areas. And another thing that you might do is there's a wonderful website that's been put together by the Bureau of Labor Statistics called the Occupational Outlook Handbook, and you can just go to any search engine and type in those three words, Occupational Outlook Handbook. Look up your own occupation, see what related occupations there are, and that will direct you, and you can go direct, there are direct links to those other occupations. Click on those and see if any of those look like they might be reasonable places to venture into.
Thank you, Ron. Wendy, virtually every business that I've started a number of businesses that have done quite well for me over the years. And in every case, if I was going into an established industry, I would find people who are successful in that industry. For example, we started a travel company in Atlanta. Louise and I spent 6 months traveling around the country, finding the most successful travel agencies we could locate. We'd go in, we'd ask to talk to the owner. We'd say, you know, we're thinking of starting a travel business in Atlanta. We're going to do wholesale and resale travel. The company was International Wholesale Travel, and the retail branch was Sprayberry Travel. And that company has done $250 million in business since we started in 83. And because we did this, and we'd say, can we take you to lunch, and will you share your expertise with us? And what I found was that 9 out of 10 people, total strangers, as long as I wasn't in the same town that they were so that they knew I wasn't going to be a competitor, love to play expert. People love to tell you what they know. Is
they
that
do,
something
and they love
that
to
he
give
could
you
use?
Advice.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. They love to do that. They're flattered. They feel they've helped somebody. And more people have been affected themselves by this difficult economy that we're in, as well as previous recessions and things we've been through. So I think there's even more receptivity, if that's a word, on the part of people in jobs right now to talking to other people about those jobs.
Right. So maybe he should even talk to people in the real estate industry and, you know, successful people and just say, you know, I'm not looking for a job. I don't want to pitch myself to you. I'd like your advice on what I can do in the world out here with this skill set. Can I take you to lunch?
That's right. And it's really just a brainstorming session. I'm not asking you for a job. That's always a good sentence to lead with, because people initially are a little bit concerned, you're asking me for something I can't give you.
There's a hidden agenda here.
But I can give you advice.
Yeah, and be sure not to ask them for a job, by the way. The fact of the matter is, down the road, they're more likely to call you if they're looking for somebody because they now know you. But if you ask for a job, then you've blown up your own credibility. Derek in Portland, Oregon, you're on with Wendy Gelberg, Certified Career Coach, GeneralJobSearch.com. Hey, Derek.
Hi, Derek.
Merry Christmas. Love your show. This is fascinating because I took a personality test last night, and it came back as introvert, intuitive feeling, which when I tell you what I do for a living, you're going to laugh. I'm a salesman. I'm in retail management and sales, and my question is, I have a passion for my volunteer work, and I don't have a lot of education, but a lot of experience, just some college. How do I go about applying skills that are not all readily transferable, I guess, to a resume or hard to articulate in my search for a job in my volunteer activity?
Can you say a little more about what your volunteer activity is?
Yes, I work at a wildlife sanctuary, a rescue sanctuary, and with large cats, and I've also worked with raptors and birds of prey. And so I would much rather do that. That's my dream job, but I don't know how to go about doing it.
Once again, I would talk with people, starting with the organization that you volunteer for, and say to them, what kinds of paying opportunities are there in this world, and how does one get a foot in the door, and just find out about the process. Find out about opportunities that people know of. What are the credentials involved? Would you need additional training or schooling or whatever? And just talk to people who are doing things close to what it is you want to be doing. And they're the ones that can point the way. They'll tell you the various pathways to get there.
Yeah, as with the last one, thank you, Derek. As with the last one, it's like building those networks. It's talking to people, building networks of communication seems so important. Sue in Indiana.
And that's intimidating for introverts. I mean, that's not an easy thing that we're telling people to do. So it really is important to know that people are receptive to these kinds of conversations.
Right, and not to shamelessly plug it, but what the heck, your book, The Successful Introvert, How to Enhance Your Job Search and Advance Your Career. It couldn't hurt to read that. Sue in Indiana, you're on with Wendy Gelberg.
Hi, we've got a problem with age. Not that age is a problem to me, but my husband's going to be 60 years old. He's been looking now for quite a long time, and in northern Indiana, there's nothing at all. And he was a telecommunications engineer, and, of course, the telecom business is flat. Mm-hmm. And he's done sales and many different things. But, you know, now people see on his resume that he's older. Now, we were told by someone from Work One that you do not put on dates, that you do not put that I worked at this company from this time to this time. You do not put it even when you graduated, mm-hmm. because that is like a red flag showing how old the person is.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking on your site at some of the stuff, and it has all sorts of dates on it. And I was told that, you know, we were told that that's like a red flag for the older people that are.
But if they're not going to, you know, Wendy, if they're not going to hire somebody because of their age based on the resume, they're not going to hire them based on their age when they do a personal interview, are they? When it becomes obvious?
Well, you've got to get in there, though.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to get in.
Yeah, the purpose of the resume is to get in the door in the first place. And once you're in the door, you might be able to change their thinking. I mean, I do a workshop on the challenge of being an older worker in the workplace. And you know, we talk about when Ronald Reagan ran for re-election and age was a factor. And he got it off the table by basically saying he wasn't going to exploit the youth and inexperience of Walter Mondale, his opponent.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden it was just not an issue anymore. So you do want to get in the door.
But it is still an issue. It is still a big issue for all the older people out there. And we're the ones, the older people are the ones that have the good stuff to sell. But, you know, just trying to prove that just because we're older does not mean that we are brain dead.
Right.
It's a tough one. Wendy, I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Okay.
You know, it's commercial radio, and we've got the clock here. Wendy Gelberg, the website GentleJobSearch.com. Her email address is over there if you want to get in touch with her. Her book, The Successful Introvert. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you so much.
45 minutes past the hour, and happy holidays.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Money's tight, and things don't look too great anytime soon. Now, did you know you're sitting on cold, hard cash right now in your home? No, I'm not talking about a garage sale. I'm talking about old jewelry, gold, silver, platinum. It's sitting in a drawer gathering dust. Cash for Gold will turn your unwanted or broken jewelry into cash fast. Cash for Gold is a direct refiner of precious metals. You just request a refiner's return pack. Place your unwanted gold or jewelry inside the pack and drop it in the mailbox. Zip, zip, quick. You'll get a check with your total satisfaction guaranteed. That's right. You can actually get your items back if you're not fully satisfied. Now that's the kind of service you'd expect from America's number one gold buyer. Visit cashforgold.com. That's cash, the number four, gold.com. Or call 800-441-0792. 800-441-0792. 800-441-0792.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
Didn't he look like he's used to having shoes thrown at him? I mean, seriously, didn't the president look completely comfortable with that shoe coming at his head?
Randy Rhodes.
He uses, like, his best cheerleader skills, and he's bobbing and weaving. And he stood there, just like on 9/11, and stared into the crowd.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
You're at a podium, you dimwit. Get down.
3 to 6.
And in between shoes, he had that same dimwitted look on his face that he had on 9/11 when he was sitting there reading my Petco.
On AM 620. KPOJ.
Guys, discomfort and chafing from wetness-related friction can hit any time. Get relief and prevent it too with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder for your feet and Body Powder for your, you know. Whether you're working out or just holding down the couch, you're a guy. And unlike baby powders, Gold Bond's got the medicated formulas to fight itch, odor, and wetness. Plus, it's got that cooling kick that lets you know it's working wherever. Keep it cool with Gold Bond Medicated Foot and Body Powders. It's a guy thing. Use as directed.
Are the monthly payments you're receiving from a structured settlement not enough to keep up with your expenses? Do you need cash now? Well, now you can get the future money owed to you in a lump sum. For free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding, 1-800-300-7153.
The money I was getting every month from my lawsuit just wasn't enough. Now we have the cash to finally pay off our credit cards.
Find out how you can turn your structured settlement into cash now, when you need it most, to pay off the bills that are piling up now.
Our adjustable rate mortgage payments were out of control. If we hadn't gotten this money, we might have ended up losing our house.
Getting this money was like getting my life back. Now I know I can pay my bills every month.
If you have a structured settlement, get the future money you have coming to you now. For your free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding at 1-800-300-7153. That's 1-800-300-7153. 1-800-300-7153.
It's time. Time to realize better amenities. Time to discover incredible floor plans. Time to find your ideal community, and most of all, it's time to find your dream home at your dream price. On now at all D.R. Horton communities, get better than buyer's market pricing on all existing new home inventory. All reasonable offers will be considered. Plus, for the first time, D.R. Horton is accepting offers on all pre-sale homes in select communities. Now is the time. Visit drhortonpdx.com and make your dream home a reality. That's drhortonpdx.com.
During the Get Together with a Volvo Season of Giving event, lease or purchase a new Volvo XC70 and get a $750 holiday gift card. Call 1-800-480-9012 or see your Portland area Volvo retailer for details. This event ends January 2nd.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming, but we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Tom and Higgins here with you. Here, Higgins, say hi. Say some. Say, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Jim Soos is with us. He's with the Council on Islamic, American Islamic Relations, C-A-I-R, C-A-I-R dot, is that dot com, Jim, right?
Correct. I'm actually with the New Jersey chapter.
Right, okay.
Right.
Which is the dot com.
NJ.care.com, correct.
Oh, NJ.care.com, great.
This is the New Jersey chapter. You gave the website for the home office, correct.
Okay, great. You're the executive director of the New Jersey Council. We have these five people who were just convicted of conspiring to attack Fort Dix. And I was hearing the news story on this morning, and two things struck me. One, these guys were convicted, by and large, of thinking and talking. The actions that they took, the charge of attempted murder was actually dismissed against them. And two, there was just a part of this that just chilled me from my own experience as a teenager. I was at Michigan State University in Students for a Democratic Society, SDS, and there was this one guy in the group who was constantly going off on, you know, kill the pigs, you know, we've got to, you know, why don't we make some Molotov cocktails, you know, we've got to, you know, I mean, it was just, he was hyper-inflammatory. And 15, 20 years later, as we all had become adults and gotten into the real workforce and whatnot, one of us, one of the guys who was in SDS, was a pretty good lawyer and sued the state of Michigan. The Michigan State Police found that they had this thing called the Red Squad, and that this guy that we all remembered as the most radical of the bunch was actually a state police informer.
Oh, really?
And had we followed his advice, I'd probably still be in prison. And,
right.
And so would most of my compatriots. And it just seems to me that in this case, here we've got an FBI informer who was paid $230,000 to egg these guys on, another who was paid $150,000 to egg these guys on. Is this, in your mind, a legitimate prosecution? I mean, I think it's perfectly appropriate that we be concerned about terrorists and people who want to, you know, kill soldiers. God forbid. I mean, it's a terrible thing. But what's the story here, Jim Soos?
Well, yeah, I did attend some of the days of testimony, and I tried to follow the case in the papers. The informants did play a very active role. They were not just a fly on the wall, sort of taking notes and observing what was going on. The big question is, would anything have happened in the absence of the informants? And in fact, would anything have happened even if the informants had stayed involved and they had let the case go further? The five defendants were never in a room together talking about any plot to attack anything.
In other words, there was no conspiracy.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not a lawyer, but I was exposed to the legal definition of conspiracy, which is very loose and broad. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that doesn't have to happen as far as the law is concerned, for there to be a conspiracy.
Yeah, and during the Nixon era, those conspiracy laws were rewritten substantially. Because I recall I was there, and it became a conspiracy. It became a felony to conspire to commit a misdemeanor. You know, like disrupting the Democratic National Convention sort of thing. You know, I mean, committee or jaywalking for that matter. If you and I, Jim, were to conspire to jaywalk in many places, that's a felony. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Continue.
The question is, was there a conspiracy? And if your definition of conspiracy is that these five people sat around and said, okay, here's how we're going to, attack this fort, that never happened. And as a matter of fact, the only one who ever really talked about the attacking the fort was one of the defendants, and he only talked about it to the informant. And, of course, the informant was, of course, egging him on, trying to get him to take action, and he kept dragging his feet. He was a rather reluctant plotter.
But these guys are facing life in prison, and this jury deliberated for 9 days. When a jury deliberates for 9 days, doesn't that tell you something?
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
I would think it would mean that there was a lot of ambivalence about the conviction.
Right, right. I would think that too. There were quite a number of things about the case and the fact that weapons were purchased, though the people purchasing the weapons really knew nothing about the talk about attacking Fort Dix, and never said anything along the lines that these weapons would be used for attacking anybody. The people that purchased the weapons were rather fond of shooting targets in the Poconos.
Which is what I was doing last weekend back in Michigan with my brother.
Right, right.
Amazing, amazing. So this all has become a major crime and another triumph, by the way, the Bush administration. We protected you from terrorists. What's the fate and future of these guys?
Well, that's a good question. Apparently, the sentencing won't happen until April. I imagine I'm not a lawyer. I guess the sentencing comes from a judge.
Yeah.
They could get life in prison for this kind of bluster and talk that has been going on for a couple months.
As the executive director of the New Jersey chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations, nj.care.com, Jim Suess, in the minute we have left, do you detect in this ginning this thing up and putting into place these informants and pushing this as hard as they did, and then the arrest and conviction and the show trial of this, an anti-Islamic subtext?
Well, yeah, not necessarily. I mean, there were, certainly a lot of images in terms of videos that were obtained from one of the defendants' laptops, beheadings and these kinds of things that were certainly meant to stir the emotions of the jurors.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who are employed in law enforcement whose job function is to essentially round up terrorists. So,
sure.
I think
that's a good thing, frankly.
Well, if this country does face some sort of threat, there needs to be someone that's trying to preclude that. But when you have, I think the numbers, frankly, today are a little bit more than need to be, and so you've got a lot of people that are just really for the sake of performing well in their job.
What you're saying.
Are going to find a terrorist,
under every rock. Yeah, it's right. Sort of like the war on drugs. Jim Suess, the executive director of the New Jersey chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations. Thanks, Jim.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Just a quick update on some of the things happening in the world today. Barack Obama has announced that he's going to take the oath of office using the same Bible which President Lincoln was sworn in on at his first inauguration. That was in 1861. It's the only time that Bible's been used since then. And that's interesting. Of course, the Constitution does not require that the president put his hand on any kind of religious instrument. The founders would have, while they did it, because it was the ceremony of the time, and it still is to some extent, take an oath on a Bible, they certainly would not have put that in the Constitution or at law. But it is a long tradition. Also in the news, Internal Revenue Service audits of large corporations, third straight year, they fell. If you own a company with assets of more than $10 million, you are at a very low level of audit coverage. If, on the other hand, you're a small business person or an average working guy, odds are you are more likely to get audited. Isn't it wonderful how the Bush administration thinks of us all? Yeah. Bush went to Walter Reed to ostensibly say hi to some of the wounded soldiers. Actually, he had a medical checkup as well. The Bush v. Gore decision, which was issued 8 years ago this month, is supposed to only be limited to the present circumstances. Turns out it's setting a precedent. We're going to be talking about that a little more tomorrow. The Minnesota Canvassing Board is continuing to go through the votes, and it looks like Al Franken is ahead of Norm Coleman. And these are apparently pretty solid numbers now by 48 votes. Remember the last time Al was on this show? It was the day of or the day before the election. And I was saying, if you have friends anywhere, wherever you are in the country listening, if you have friends in Minnesota, call them up and make sure they voted. I would be so pleased. Obviously, there's no way of knowing, but so pleased if our efforts on this show got those 48 votes for Al Franken. He's a great guy, and in my opinion, he'll make a great U.S. senator. So we will see how this goes. The Deputy Attorney General Jim Comey, remember the guy who sat, who went to John Ashcroft's hospital room to prevent Alberto Gonzalez from getting and Andy Card from getting John Ashcroft to sign a waiver so that George Bush could wiretap people illegally? That was Jim Comey. He was the number two guy in the Justice Department. He was Ashcroft's assistant. He has now come out and endorsed Eric Holder, the attorney general nominee for Barack Obama, saying this guy, even though he said, yeah, go ahead and pardon Mark Rich. And actually, he didn't even say that. He just, I guess he prepared the documents. That was his job at that time in the Clinton administration. He says he's a good guy. And Rick Warren has removed the anti-gay statements from his website. Is he changing? He reached out to Melissa Etheridge as well. Is this one of those three cups of tea moments as I hopefully predict that it may be? We'll see. You know, there's others who say, yeah, you know, he's a good marketing guy and he hasn't really changed. And so anyway, and only 23% of America, or up to, now it's up to 23% of Americans think that Dick Cheney is the worst VP in the history of the United States. I suspect that number is going to increase. But here's the issue that I wanted to bring up this hour. I am incompetent at holidays. In all my years on this planet, I've never figured it out. For years, I used to love to send Christmas cards out. Since we started doing this show, I don't think that we've sent, Louise and I have sent Christmas cards out in the last 4 or 5 years to anybody, even to family. In fact, last year and this year were the first 2 years, the first 4 years we did the show, that I didn't do a show on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. This year we're going to be playing, as I recall, a best of on Christmas Day, and then I'll be back live. Actually, I'll be back live, I think, the day after New Year. One of those two holidays, anyhow. I'll be back. But the point is that between writing books and doing a radio show, and you wouldn't believe the amount of work and prep that goes into this. There's a business opportunity there. If somebody had let me know, so this is the kind of business that you could start. If somebody had let me, and you could even do it over the web, let me know that they would give me on the web, say, my choice of 15 different Christmas cards or holiday cards. Actually, I want to send them out to people who are not Christians as well. And I could pick from one. Pick one, and then they would hand fill out, you know, dear George and Sally, you know, happy holidays to you. And then just send them to me in all pre-stamped and the envelopes pre-addressed and ready to go. And all I had to do was sign them with my signature. I would pay for that. there's a business opportunity for, you know, it's seasonal, I guess. But anyway, years ago, well, not so many years ago, about a decade ago, when Louise and I lived in Vermont, we got to know our mail carrier quite well. We lived in Montpelier, a town of 9,000 people, and Dick, who was our mail guy, he came by every day, and we would chat, and we got to know him, and we got to know that he collected old dog license tags. And so I looked on eBay, the last winter that we were there, I looked on eBay, and I found that these collectible old dog license tags are, you know, there are some that are very expensive, but there are some that are not all that expensive. And so we got him one from, as I recall, the 1920s, 1930s. And the day before Christmas, when he came to deliver the mail, we met him at the door and gave him an envelope with his dog tag in it. And afterwards, he came back and he said, oh, this is wonderful. It's one I didn't have in my collection. I've added it to the collection. Thank you so much. The reality is, though, I don't know what is legal or appropriate to tip or thank a mail carrier, for example, federal employee. I don't know what is the appropriate tip for the guy who delivers the newspaper to our house every day, although I'd like to do it. And I just, you know, I don't know. I've done different amounts over the years, and most years I've done nothing. And sometimes the mail carriers, it's been a pretty low-paid job, change every 3 months, and you just don't figure, you know, hey, I should, you know, tip this guy. Or you just don't get around to it. In other professions, I mean, you know, bartenders, from the website payscale.com, 59% of a bartender's income comes from tips. Waitresses and waiters, 68% of their income comes from tips. Now, here in Oregon, we have a law that says, or at least in Portland, maybe statewide, I think maybe it's just citywide,
that if you are hiring wait staff, you know, waiters, bartenders, things like that, you have to pay them at least state minimum wage, which is $7 and change, in addition to tips, whereas in some other states, people work for $2 an hour plus tips. Massage therapists, 15% on average. Hairstylists, 26% on average. Now, I didn't know that. Maybe many women do. I mean, I tip the woman who does my haircuts, but I never knew that there was a particular percentage. I was just kind of rounded up to the next five. The concierge, 10%. Doorman, 31%. I've never had a doorman, so parking attendant, never had a parking attendant, 29%. Van driver, 11%. Musicians, 8%. How do you tip musicians? 21% to the taxi drivers. If you have suggestions or experiences in this field that you would like to share with me and with our listeners, I have a feeling I'm not the only one out here who's a little confused and a little befuddled and not quite sure exactly what to do or how to do it, what might get you in trouble or what will be truly appreciated, what's seen as gratuitous and what's not. You know, what are your thoughts on this? Jeff in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom. Great to be on.
Thank you for calling. You're a mailman?
Yes, I am. I've been a mailman for about 10 years now. And
are you the Jeff who runs the website that we've talked about in the past?
Well, I've cut back on the blogging quite a bit. I've been more active with my union. But, yeah, that's me.
Ah, great. And you want to plug that website again, or is it not so germane any longer?
Yeah, I didn't update it, and it was a one-man job. So.
Okay, all righty. So anyhow, how do you tip a, what should I do? We've got a great mail carrier here, you know, in this floating home community. We got 34 houses in this moorage, you know, bobbing up and down in the water here. And, you know, she just works her, you know, legs off, shall we say, for us.
Right.
What do I do?
Well, let me clear up a couple misconceptions here. You did say that being a mailman is a low-paid job.
And no, I didn't say that.
True. Oh, okay. I thought maybe you said that. That's only true in rural areas where people drive their own vehicle. They don't have their own uniform. Those
right.
people you definitely want to make sure you tip because they work their fingers to the bone. We, you know, have great benefits and a great working environment. So, you know, it's not like we're going to die if you don't get us a tip. But I'll tell you what the law is. The law is $20 or less. And that's year round if you want to give them a gift on their birthday or whatever, $20 or less, or something of $20 or less value. You could probably get away with hand making something that's a little, you know, worth more, but make
sure.
Or
you could give them a bottle of wine or something. In other words,
right.
Is that relatively common, Jeff?
Yeah. In fact, I would say maybe 5% of regular customers maybe come up with something. And I think more would if they knew what the etiquette was. I just today just got some cologne. And a nice painted gingerbread cookie and a nice card. And it just makes me feel good and makes the community feel like we're a part of something.
That's great. Jeff, thank you so much for the insight and for being a mailman. It's an important job. Keeps us all together here. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Provider and licensing details are available.
If this is your paycheck and this is your debt, what are your options? File bankruptcy and tread water the next 7 years? Or make a call for Care One Credit Counseling Services and start getting out of debt today. A Care One Credit Counseling Agency can help you get immediate relief from stress caused by debt, and you'll have one lower monthly payment instead of the pile you have right now. Call a Care One agent today, and you can start saving hundreds of dollars in fees and interest payments. Care One agencies have helped over 4 million people get out of debt, and they can help you too. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983, and find out how you can lower your monthly payments up to 57%. One 15-minute phone call can change your life. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983.
Did you know you can now listen to AM 620 KPOJ on your iPhone or iPod Touch?
Go to 620KPOJ.com and download the free iHeartRadio application.
You'll hear Carl Wolfson and friends, Tom Hartman, Ed Schultz, Randy Rhodes,
Rachel Maddow, and Mike Malloy.
all streaming from the hottest mobile phones and MP3 players on the planet, iHeartRadio. The download is free. Listen to Portland's only progressive talk station on your iPhone. For more information, visit 620kpoj.com.
Hi, this is Tom Dwyer, 230-2300. Hey, don't be lulled by these short-term gas prices. While we experience this temporary period of cheaper gas, remember what $4 and $5 gas feels like. Dwindling oil resources and corporate greed, the causes of high fuel prices, have not changed. You can trust the oil companies to do one thing, make profit. The oil industry spends more money advertising they're green than actually being green. Executive compensation and advertising spending far exceeds their actual budget for alternatives. Oil is a finite resource, and we're sucking off the bottom of the tank. Not familiar with the term peak oil? Then it's time to learn. What are we willing and able to do for transportation in the future? Tom Dwyer Automotive Services is committed to helping you make your transportation as sustainable as possible, whether it's keeping your vehicle running at its best, converting it to ethanol or biodiesel, or helping you with a decision about moving to hybrids or full electrics, we can help. We'd like to earn your trust and welcome you as a valued client. Please check the detailed video testimonials on our website at tomdwyer.com or just call us at 503-230-2300.
Hey, Skip, what's up?
I just got out of a meeting with Jim.
Yeah, what's up with him lately?
I don't know. He's acting weird.
Yeah, the pointy hat, the striped socks.
Ever since he went to Office Max.
I think he's been elfing himself.
Jim? No way.
Hey, fellas, there you are. Hey, how about we do lunch, huh? What do you say? Come on, just the three of us.
Told you.
Office Max is your headquarters for the holidays. And, of course, don't forget to elf yourself at elfyourself.com. This week only, get a Garmin 205 GPS for $149.99. See store for details while supplies last.
Honey, come on. We've got last-minute shopping to do.
Let's go to
Lowe's Last-Minute Extravaganza.
A bullhorn?
Sorry. But this Thursday through Christmas Eve, we'll get 10% off major appliances, $397 or more.
Oh.
Plus, we can register for a free $10 online certificate with purchase of $100 in Lowe's gift cards and get 10% off all wet dry vacs and Cobalt tool storage chests.
Let's go to Lowe's.
I'll start the car.
Do your last-minute shopping at Lowe's this weekend to get 50% off holiday decorations. Lowe's, let's build something together. While supplies last, some restrictions apply. See store for details.
This week only, you can get the new TomTom 1-125 for under $100. It's the GPS that works right out of the box, and at just $99.95, it's the perfect holiday gift at the perfect price. TomTom, go confidently.
The weather outside is frightful, so why not stay inside and shop online for great half-price deals? All week long, go to halfpricethursday.com and find bargains on tanning, dining, family fun, and much, much more. Visit halfpricethursday.com to find the best deals in Portland.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
The hour. Tom Hartman here with you. TomHartman.com if you want to drop into our live chat room. Some lively conversations going on there. We will have our Tom Vision webcam back possibly tomorrow, certainly next week. I'm still trapped at home here today by the global warming that has fallen all around me. Patty in Plymouth, Michigan. Hey, Patty, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
You are on the air.
Yeah, I've been a letter carrier for 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
I called Fred a mailman. The correct term, this is like, stewardess and flight attendant. The correct term is letter carrier, isn't it? My apologies for the anachronistic usage.
There's a code of federal regulations and under which there's a code of ethics that covers the extent at which, you know, we can accept gifts, and it is fairly clear, but I'll tell you, I've accepted $50 tips, and as long as you keep it to yourself.
Okay. All right.
No one's the wiser.
Yeah. Thank you, Patty. I'm not, we won't disclose your phone number on the air.
Thank you
very much for the call. June in Portland. Hey, June.
Well, hi.
in my old age, I tip 20% plus. I'm very generous with, I'm also.
I do too in restaurants. Yeah.
Pardon?
In restaurants, I do too. It's always 20% and then I round it up to the next dollar.
Right. And, oftentimes more. And I give also, I'm a lifelong writer, and a particular piece of mine, this is very, very appropriate. It was about December 1938, and I volunteered. I was 14 years old, had turned 14 this summer, and I volunteered to go cut down our family Christmas tree. And this is way up in northern Ontario in a little town. The life of the town was a paper mill built with American money, American entrepreneurship after World War I. Well, anyway, I sold that to the Los Angeles Times. It was published in December of 79, and they titled it December 1938, The Last Christmas of Many Childhoods, because the following, yeah. Anyway, so I'll give that, plus money, plus I'm very generous with the mail person, delivery person,
right.
The lady.
So you give things, pardon me, June, you give things of consequence and value to you as well as cash, in other words.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, both. Uh-huh. And sometimes cookies. Well, I haven't done any baking this year, but
yeah.
I may even get the spirit down.
Well, there you go. That's great. And happy holidays to you, June, and thank you so much for the call. Steve in Albany, New York. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. You just mentioned a few moments ago you wish there was a service that let you send cards from your computer. And we actually do that. And so I wanted to call in and let you know.
Well, I know about the electronic card ones, but when people
send... No, those are real greeting cards.
Oh, a real physical greeting card.
Greeting cards that are printed, they're printed on demand, so they're very green. They're printed,
right.
on recycled paper.
Right. Are they personalized?
Yeah, they're personalized. Even if you want, you can get an upgrade for fonts, with your
right.
own handwriting fonts.
Wow.
And you can customize them any way you want.
And you send them to me so I can sign them, or do I digitize my signature and send it to you?
No, if people can get a font with signatures, and it's all uploaded, and you just choose the signature you want and send the card.
Oh. So what's the website, Steve?
I
need to write this down. Sorry, start over again.
It's sendingcards123.
Sending S-E-N-D-I-N-G cards?
Yep, 123.com.
And this is your business?
I'm a representative for a company called Send Out Cards. And that's but that website is my promotional site.
Oh, how cool. Well, Steve, thank you for the heads up. I
appreciate it. You're welcome.
And happy holidays to you, too, Steve. Thank you very much. Thank you. Julie in Sacramento. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Tom. It's such a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you, Julie. You too.
I give my mailman lemons because they're nice and ripe at this point, and they're special lemons. It's a combination between an orange and a lemon.
That you grow in your yard or that you buy at the store?
Yes, I do. And then I also, my neighbor decided to chop it down.
Oops.
So now I have only one branch left, and what was left on that for this year, I gave him there was only about 10 of them left, and usually I can get about 3 or 4 bags when I had a full lemon tree.
Right, right.
But my lady next door has gone crazy. So
what about the people who deliver your newspaper and things like
the
that?
Only things that I have are the I put a $5 bill into each one of the guys that do my garbage.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
right.
That's
before
important
they come in
too.
I put the little envelope up on the little top,
right,
and that's where they pick it off of. Or
so,
I also give them lemons when
right.
I have
some. So you put it out with the trash. That's a great idea. We have trash pickup here for the community. I need to find out if the community's doing anything or if I should. Julie, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Your thoughts on how you do it and what do you do for the holiday season for others? 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Have your
yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Some downright crazy legislation going on out there in the world. Yeah, and one Michigan city, this is Brighton. I've been in Brighton. I might be in big trouble, I don't know. The city council passed a law. Well, let me preface this by pointing out the Declaration of Independence guarantees the right of happiness. Remember, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness doesn't guarantee it. It's not a legal document. It's a founding document. And nonetheless, Declaration of Independence talks about happiness. Doesn't talk about grouchiness. The Brighton City Council on Thursday approved, this last Thursday, approved an ordinance allowing police in the Livingston County community to ticket and fine anybody who is annoying in public. Yes, annoying in public can get you busted. Also, a man eats 7 pounds of latkes to win New York contest. That's a lot of latkes. 23-year-old mechanical engineering student downed 46 of the potato pancakes. Oh, man. The food around this holiday season, my grandmother, Esther Hartman, back when she and my grandfather spelled Hartman with one N, she, this time of year, used to just cook these fish to death. And it was, and you had to eat, and you had to eat a lot of it to make her and grandpa happy. Anyway, 866-303-2270. What are appropriate tips? By the way, here's a list. This is from the CBS News site. One of the folks in our chat room gave me a heads up on this. A babysitter should get one evening's pay. A barber should get the cost of one haircut. Beauty salon staff, the cost of one visit. Your child's teacher, find out if it's prohibited. Possibilities, a gift certificate to a bookstore. Daycare providers, $25 to $70 each. Dog walker, 1 week's pay. Fitness trainer, up to the cost of one session. Garage attendants, $10 to $30. Home health employees, check with the agency, see what's appropriate. Sometimes giving a gift to the agency is the way to do it. The house, if you have a housekeeper or a cleaner, the appropriate gift is 1 week's pay. Letter carriers, up to $20. Live-in help, 1 week to 1 month's salary, depending on how long they've been there, plus a personal gift. Massage therapist, up to one session fee. Newspaper deliverer, $10 to $30. Nurse private, a gift, not cash. Nursing home employees, a gift, not cash. How do you do that if somebody is being paid for with Medicare? Is one of the questions asked in our chat room. Let's see. It's pretty much yarn or guard work, or $20 to $50. 866-303-2270. Your thoughts and experiences with this. Marilyn in Los Angeles. Hey, Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. I can't believe I'm talking about something apolitical with you. But
I know.
But here we go.
But hey, it's life. You know, we're all part of the society. And
yeah. Well, I work as a pet sitter, which is why I get to listen to all 3 hours of your show. Because I listen while I'm working, and some of my clients are extremely generous, and you know, but I work different. You know, a different amount for everybody, and it changes all the time. But what I do for them is throughout the year, I take photographs of their pets. And at Christmas time, I pick the very best photos I have, and I'm a good photographer, and send them photos. And some of them, you know, are just blown away by it. One year, I pet sat for somebody just at Christmas time. I'd never, you know, met her before. And took care of her cat for about 5 days, sent her photographs the next year. She called me up, and she was blown away because he had died a little bit after I had seen him. And these came as this enormous surprise, and she was so touched. So sometimes it isn't money as much as, you know, something that's really, yeah, really touching and appropriate.
Right, and you're doing this, Marilyn, not to hustle a tip. You're doing this because you love pets. And
I love to do it. And yeah, also, the person who processes the photographs for me,
mm-hmm,
she really, I was going to use the wrong terminology, but she really bends over backwards to be helpful, mm-hmm. and I have to come in and get some more done because whatever. Mm-hmm. And I gave her $20 this year, and she was just, she lit up like a Christmas tree. She mm-hmm. was so happy. So some of the rule of thumb for me is those people who go out of their way for me, those are the people I really want to tip, you know,
right.
give them some recognition.
And Marilyn, as a pet sitter, what are the holiday gifts that you get that from your clients that are meaningful to you, or what's normal?
Meaningful.
In your business?
Well, some people have given me some significant money. Interestingly, two people gave me less money than they gave me last year and felt apologetic about it, and I understand it because money's tighter this year, and
yeah.
I was grateful to receive it. I don't like when people leave me candy because I don't want to eat it.
Right.
cards, you know, like a gift card to I shouldn't give a plug, but to a health food store.
Sure.
That's the best. Love
yeah.
it. Love
okay,
it.
All right.
Yeah.
Marilyn, thank you very much. That's fascinating. Lewis in Seattle. Hey, Lewis, listening on Talk 1090. What's up?
Hey, Tom. Happy holidays to
well,
you.
Thank you. Happy holidays. Happy holidays to you, too, Lewis.
Hey, I deliver gourmet food, box lunches and catering and the like up here in Seattle. And I tell you, the nonprofits and the charity organizations actually tip way better than the investment banks and the big design firms and the people who live around the lakes in the multi-million dollar houses. It's really amazing. You go in to these houses and set up a big, beautiful spread of food and not a thing. You know, it's like, do you even give the pizza boy a couple bucks, you know? It's amazing.
So for somebody who is catering an event or something like that, you know, an average tip would be what? And I don't know how many of our listeners regularly do that kind of thing, probably a small percentage, but what's a typical holiday gift?
I don't know. I haven't gotten one yet.
Okay. So apparently it's yeah. not. Yeah. But
I haven't gotten a red cent this holiday
yeah,
season.
Yeah. Well, hope springs eternal, Lewis. Good luck. I appreciate the call. Thank you. John in Vancouver. Hey, John.
Tom, it's an honor to speak with you. I quickly wanted to make a semantical point that the language has become mangled. The word tip comes from to ensure promptness, and that was the money you would slip to the maitre d' to get seated quickly.
Uh-huh.
What's left afterwards is a gratuity, which is to say thank you for service.
Right.
So for millions of your listeners, let me thank you for being in my home 3 hours every day and bringing me information I would not otherwise receive, and your ability to have civil discourse with people of opposing views to get information out for consideration. And I've studied the body of work that you have done, the dozens of books, the work that you do, and a heartfelt sense of thank you and gratitude, and that you made a difference to somebody is far more important than your signature on a card or something like that. And so I don't know that a gratuity needs to be monetary. It can be heartfelt, and that's probably more meaningful.
Well, thank you, John. That's very meaningful to me, and I appreciate that.
And thank you to Louise as well.
Yeah,
you guys do a great job.
She is fully 50% of this effort. Sometimes 60 or 70%.
I understand
that very well. And Sean is in on this too.
Like you.
Yeah, and Sean Taylor as well, who's also 50% of this effort.
I spoke with Sean this weekend. I emailed her, and I'll be seeing her soon. Thank you,
great.
Tom.
Thank you, John. Thanks for the call. And if you want to tip me, just, you know, give a call to your local radio station and thank them for carrying the show and thank them for carrying this kind of programming. Or contact your advertisers and thank them. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Ernie in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Ernie, what's up?
Oh, not much. Tom, like I told your screener, I was a postal supervisor for 30 out of my 34 years before I retired.
Mm-hmm.
And every year this week, I had to get up and stand before the carriers and give them a service talk straight from Washington on why they should not be accepting tips and how it was against postal regulations.
But I understand the federal guidelines on this allow letter carriers to take up to $20.
Again, when I was there, the guidelines were zero, zip, zilch.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If they have changed in the 3 years since I've been gone, I don't know about it.
Yeah, okay. But if somebody got a card, if somebody got, a handmade Christmas ornament, something like that?
The carriers were getting tips, and they were getting bottles. They were getting, you name it, they were bringing it back. And we'd all turn a blind eye and say, have a good time, guys.
Yeah, okay. Ernie, thanks a lot for the story. Stan in Berkeley. Hey, Stan, what's up?
Oh, hi. Oh, I want to say one thing. I'm a retired letter carrier, but I want to say one thing. I've been trying to get people into the bah humbug spirit, but they've been too grumpy.
There you go. Into the bah humbug spirit. Okay.
Yeah, well, I give my letter carrier and my newspaper guy $20 at Christmas. And,
yeah. Okay.
And
that seems
because it's a tough time of day of the year to be delivering.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Anywhere in the country.
No,
yeah, you're right. Stan, thank you for the call. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And of course, any other topics you want to get into are fine with me as well. We're pretty laid back here during the holidays. But I found this fascinating. I think we've covered a lot of territory here. We'll be back. I've got a couple of news stories for you, too.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If you're tired of credit card debt with high rates and fees, if you're in over your head dealing with high monthly payments, there's powerful information that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-1983. You don't have to declare bankruptcy. Credit Answers represents the highest standards in the industry. We've already helped thousands of people like you save millions of dollars. Just give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help you live better, debt-free. Call for this valuable free information at 1-800-600-1983. That's 1-800-600-1983. 1-800-600-1983.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth? It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
Are the monthly payments you're receiving from a structured settlement not enough to keep up with your expenses? Do you need cash now? Well, now you can get the future money owed to you in a lump sum. For free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding, 1-800-300-7153.
The money I was getting every month from my lawsuit just wasn't enough. Now we have the cash to finally pay off our credit cards.
Find out how you can turn your structured settlement into cash now, when you need it most, to pay off the bills that are piling up now.
Our adjustable rate mortgage payments were out of control. If we hadn't gotten this money, we might have ended up losing our house.
Getting this money was like getting my life back. Now I know I can pay my bills every month.
If you have a structured settlement, get the future money you have coming to you now. For your free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding at 1-800-300-7153. That's 1-800-300-7153. 1-800-300-7153.
Bring the holidays home. Choose local. It's more important than ever to support our local economy. The Sustainable Business Network of Portland encourages you to choose locally owned businesses this holiday season, like Paloma Clothing, a locally owned women's clothing and accessory store located in the Hillsdale Shopping Center. When you choose locally owned businesses like Paloma Clothing, more money recirculates in our economy, more jobs are created, and you preserve the quality of our neighborhoods. For a list of locally owned businesses, go to sbnportland.org. And remember, choose local this holiday season.
So you love listening to the radio.
You love listening to it at work, in the car, in your home office, at the park, at the gym, on the train, with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend, at your kids' play. Okay, that's just wrong. But what's right is you can listen to radio on your iPhone wherever you go. All thanks to the iHeartRadio app. Download it for free at iHeartRadio.com. We think you'll heart it a lot.
The weather has been terrible, and you may not have bought your Honey Baked Ham yet. So, as a gift to you, Honey Baked Ham will take an extra $10 off an 8-pound ham or larger between now and New Year's. Beaverton Town Square, the Water Tower at John's Landing, Salem Center, Vancouver Mall, Clackamas Town Center, and Lloyd Center. Take an extra $10 off. And for your convenience on Christmas Day, the Beaverton Town Square and the Water Tower at John's Landing stores will be open till 2 p.m.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah, the second day, the third night of Hanukkah today. Welcome back, 866-303-2270, our telephone number. I'm looking at this website that Steve called and told me about, sendingcards123.com. This is so cool. I love it when people get entrepreneurial ideas and run with them. I think it's just marvelous. Also, one of the folks in our chat room says, I'm a letter carrier, our union contract stipulates that we can receive gifts up to $20. So I thought, that's interesting. Of course, we got the smartest people in the world over our chat room. You can drop in there at tomhartman.com. It's free. It's live. Let's see, 866-303-2270. Linda in Deerfield Beach, Florida, listening on Winds. Hey, Linda, what's up with you today?
Merry Christmas, Tom, to you and your wife.
And the same to you,
thank you for your wonderful book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class. It's a great read. Everybody, please go out, buy that book, read it. I've spread it all over the office, as a matter of fact.
Well, thank you, Linda.
You know, we at work, I personally, I tip everybody, and I don't expect it in return. I tip my pool guy. I tip my recycle guy. I tip people because I can. And I feel at this particular time of year, they work their butt off all year. I want them to remember that, hey, somebody's thinking about you. I mean, it's not that, you know, I mean, I love cookies. I love candy. But when people can give, they should give, because what goes around comes around. I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah, well said. Linda, thank you very much, and thank you for your kind words. Appreciate it. Mike in Santa Monica, California. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hi, how are you? Well, two things. First of all, regarding the ordinance about finding people who are annoying in public.
Yes, in Michigan.
I wonder if we could get them to slap a huge fine on Bush and Cheney.
There you go. Unfortunately, Washington, D.C. didn't pass the law.
Oh, damn. Well, here's the other thing. For Christmas,
uh-huh.
I don't really have money to tip anybody,
right.
But in Santa Monica, at least, I mean, cities all over the country have volunteer programs. Santa Monica has an organization called One Voice, mm-hmm. And I think the website's onevoice.com. I'm not positive. They, for Christmas, they do things during the year, but for Christmas, they have an arrangement to feed hundreds of needy families through various distribution centers.
Mm-hmm.
And Thursday night and Friday night, the preparation was in an aircraft. It's a huge operation. Was in an aircraft hangar at Santa Monica Airport with hundreds of volunteers and a huge operation packing bags and boxes with yams and carrots and onions and all sorts of other stuff for turkey for Christmas dinners that gets loaded into trucks and so on. And I personally like doing things anonymously, so it was a good feeling for me. Oh, and Thursday night, the first couple of hours was set aside for families with kids, and that's like a joy to watch because the kids get into it. So volunteer activity is another thing. You know, people can do. If you don't have any money, maybe there's some area one way or another in your community where you can volunteer time.
Yeah, that's truly the holiday spirit. Mike, thank you very much for sharing that with us. Appreciate it. Bob Ney with the Talk Radio News Service on the line with our daily update about what's going on in the world. TalkRadioNews.com, the website. Bob, I understand. I was listening to you on the morning show this morning with Carl Wolfson on KPOJ, and you said that one of your relatives was General Ney, spelled the same way, who was executed by Napoleon, Napoleon's general. Do I have that right?
He was Napoleon's general, but he was executed by the French government after Napoleon got in trouble and went to Elba. And so he was executed. There is an urban myth that he escaped. Somebody else was shot, and he ended up in Virginia as a teacher. Now, I don't know if that's true, but...
Oh, that's interesting. And along with a descendant of the Virgin Mary and Jesus, perhaps, from southern France?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, there's a whole...
I'm only a descendant of Marshal Ney. I've been called other descendants of other things, but only Marshal
Ney. Okay. So what's going on in the world today, Bob?
Well, the biggie coming out is the report today to be released... And I wanted to make it, clear. Of course, Barack Obama wanted to release this a long time ago, but the federal prosecutor Fitzgerald asked him not to. But the release of the report comes out today that will show no wrongdoing by Barack Obama, limited contact by Rahm Emanuel for, business involving actually, the state and his seat. And so that should be out today. And, and is expected it will stop any questions or any questions.
Well, the cynics are saying, gee, Barack Obama investigated himself and found that he's fine. But on the other hand, the methodology of this investigation is going to be transparent. So I would guess that pretty much anybody can look at it and say, okay, here's the problem I have with it, or it looks like it makes sense to me.
Right. And also, European nations have announced that they are willing to take detainees from Guantanamo Bay once it's shut down. They had previously multiple times refused George Bush, so they made it clear today through spokespeople that this was in deference to Barack Obama. And yes.
Which is this, the entire EU, or is it just a small group of European? I mean, who in Europe is saying this?
Well, right now it just says that the European officials, and it's plural, and U.S. diplomats have confirmed that a significant overture to incoming Barack Obama, and they have multiple times told George Bush no. Wow. And so that's very, very fascinating.
So it sounds like it's the EU. Typically, when they say European officials, they're referring to the European
delegates
Union.
Delegates of EU. That's correct.
Yeah, remarkable.
Japan is dipping, record 27% in November slump. Toyota having some problems, so this whole thing is kind of going,
they're losing
I guess
money.
You could say, worldwide. An interesting, real quick, on the SEC report, the Security Exchange Commission, there was a report in Thanksgiving, got very little attention, now has been resurrected yesterday because of the whole Madoff situation. And it's just saying that there was a lot of people that were supposed to be certified as attorneys. They were watching porn at the SEC. They were running businesses, quote, for years. And that's all going to be, I'm sure, scrutinized by Congress. And then there's the still continued no speak. J.P. Morgan Chase basically said that, quote, we have not disclosed where they're spending the money to the public, and we're declining to. So that's, they want the money, but they don't want to tell you where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the news today.
Okay. Well, perfect timing, Bob. Bob Ney with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thanks, Bob.
Happy
holidays to you.
Thanks.
Sandra Swirsky is going to be with us next. She's the president of the Philanthropy Collaborative. Philanthropycollaborative.org is the website. Who's giving, who's getting, and who needs your help this time of year? My favorite charity, SalemChildrensVillage.org, by the way. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to our program. Tom Hartman here with you, 6 minutes past the hour. Last week, Nick Kristof had an editorial in the New York Times. Let's see, actually it was this week, December 20th. He said, this holiday season it's time to examine who's been naughty and who's been nice. I'm unhappy about my findings. He says, we liberals are personally stingy. When they separated out, at least according to some studies, when they separated out people giving to religious organizations, particularly organizations, you know, the Mormons are very, very aggressive about tithing, for example. When they separated that sort of thing out, then it became a little more of an even playing field. But that's an interesting question. And you know, what are the consequences of giving? Kerry Lucas, who's a regular guest on this program, the conservative from the International Women's or Independent Women's Forum, writes about how a study done by the Philanthropy Collaborative, philanthropycollaborative.org, the website, points out that for every dollar of grants provided by foundations, $8.58 of economic benefit accrues to the United States, that this is actually a useful and important part of what's going on in the United States. So I wanted to dig into this just a little deeper. Sandra Swirsky is with us. She's the president of the Philanthropy Collaborative, philanthropycollaborative.org, the website. Sandra, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Tom. Nice to be here.
Thank you, and happy holidays to you. What is the nature of charitable giving in the United States? What's the state of foundation giving? I'm hearing all these dire stories about particularly larger foundations that were invested in the stock market not having what they've had in the past to give. What is the consequence of this giving, and how does this relate to individual giving, you know, in the United States?
Sure, thank you. Let's talk about foundation giving first, because I probably know more about that. For the past decade, we have seen enormous growth in the dollar-for-dollar amount of foundation giving across the spectrum, whether it's to soup kitchens or to education programs or to museums, just across the board increases.
Now, is that a function of the fact that most of these organizations' endowments were invested in the market, which had been going up like a rocket over the last 10 years?
Sure. And I also think it's a function of personal wealth, that there are a lot of folks out there who have used their own personal resources and developed businesses and have become wealthy and decided they wanted to give back as well. So it's not just the growth of endowments, but it's many more people realizing the power of philanthropy and wanting to do more. So they've gone ahead and set up their own foundations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both of those things.
Okay. And you were continuing with some of the other pieces of that question that I asked you.
Sure. The economic meltdown is going to have a dramatic effect on foundation giving and on giving generally by the American public. However, there have been a number of studies done that show that even in times of economic despair, that Americans are by far the most generous people on the planet, that even when folks have less, they tend to give the same. They don't dial back. And just anecdotally, I've had a number of conversations with folks across the country, and what I've heard is that some of these foundations that have had dramatic drops in their endowments, instead of cutting across the board all of their giving to the local charities, what they're doing is they're focusing on what the core charities are, and they're actually giving more because they know a number of these charities are going to get cut. Their resources are going to cut from other sources. So foundations are using a variety of different tools and strategies to make sure that those charities that they deem critical to the social fabric of the communities that they're in are fully funded.
Right.
But I won't say that every charity is going to come out a winner in this. Absolutely not.
The charitable foundation is a relatively recent phenomenon in the United States. Before the 1880s, it was pretty much unknown. As the robber barons came to power, Jay Gould created a foundation, Andrew Carnegie created a foundation, Rockefeller created a foundation. Many of these were Huntington created a foundation. Many of these were ways of sheltering income. Many of them were ways of burnishing their reputation. The laws that controlled the behavior of corporations prior to the 1880s, in every state in the Union, it was illegal for a corporation to exist for more than 40 years, for example. They always had to be dissolved at the end of 40 years so they could be the equivalent of subject to probate. And so we didn't have dynastic wealth in this country. None of the founders left, you know, none of the founders were particularly all that rich, and none of them left riches. None of them left foundations. And in fact, all the early generations of Americans up to and through the Civil War, until really the railroad barons came along, nobody had the kind of wealth necessary to create a foundation. What about the concept that and in some of the more, shall we say, democratic socialist nations, foundations play a much smaller role than does government. What about the concept that this whole notion of very, very wealthy families creating foundations that then do social good, for example, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has done enormous good in this world, mm-hmm. are actually symptoms of a social ill, which is the massive inequality, the massively unequal distribution of wealth in a society, the ability of a small number of people to accumulate massive dynastic wealth, which was something that many of the founders decried, Jefferson probably most loudly. He felt that multi-generational wealth, you know, that could threaten, that could change democracy, change the nature of government, was his phrase, was a, quote, threat to the state, the state being the United States, that this is actually, you know, back to Christoph's point, you know, he's like, why don't liberals give as much as conservatives do? And I think that one of the reasons may be that liberals actually believe that, you know, foundations and charitable giving by wealthy people, there's almost something evocative of the nobility of Europe in that, you know, we'll throw a few bones to the poor. Whereas, which may reflect, to put a political edge on this, and I don't know if you want to go there, but it may reflect a more conservative viewpoint, at least economically, whereas the more liberal viewpoint would be, isn't this the job of all of us? Isn't this the job of society? And might not these foundations actually be symptomatic of a cultural evil?
You know, Tom, I find that line of reasoning just plain crazy.
Okay. Why?
Well, to think that, or to articulate that wealthy people who seek to give away their money is somehow a symptom of an illness in this country is crazy. Many foundations give away their money with or without any type of tax planning strategy or charitable deduction in place. They do it because it's part of who they are. They want to pass on the spirit of philanthropy and giving to their children, and they hope that they'll catch it as well. America is far different, and the people who give in America are far different than any other nation in the country, or rather any nation in the world. We have a very proud history of taking care of our neighbors, from the landing of the Mayflower onward, a very proud history of that. And to suggest that proud history is somehow ill-advised because members of our community have amassed great wealth and seek to give it away, again, it's just plain crazy.
Well, here, for example, we're talking with Sandra Zworski, the president of the Philanthropy Collaborative, philanthropycollaborative.org. During the period from 1935 until 1980, when the top marginal tax rate was between 74 and 91%, and I used to write foundation grants from 1978 to 1984. I wrote a lot of grants, going to foundations looking for money. There were virtually no dynastic families of dynastic wealth that emerged in the United States because the top marginal tax rate was so high. Virtually all of the really, really well-funded foundations came before 1935 or after 1980 because that was when people, because of changes in tax law, could become dynastically wealthy. You don't see that as a social evil or a social ill?
No, I don't see it as a social evil or a social ill as well, particularly when these are the folks who are turning around and giving away vast sums of their wealth. What's so interesting about today, if I can pivot for a moment, is that we are seeing a growing number of wealthy individuals creating foundations. But what is so interesting to me is that we're also seeing a growing number of children, high schoolers, college-aged graduates getting much more interested in philanthropy and much more interested in a giving back.
Yeah, well, that's
so
a fine thing.
I don't think it's just the old white wealthy folks giving anymore. It's really philanthropy and what some of the...
Sandra, I'm sorry we're out of time.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
It is now officially the last minute for Christmas shopping, but ProFlowers has you covered with a fantastic deal on two Christmas bouquets. ProFlowers has extended last week's deal on their exclusive Christmas tulips until Tuesday, so you get 15 red and white Christmas tulips mixed with fragrant Douglas fir in a free glass vase, all for just $29.99. Or for just $10 more, get 30% more tulips and a festive keepsake candy cane striped vase. That's an incredible value and over $15 in savings for this colorful bouquet and premium holiday vase. This bouquet says Christmas. Its colors and pine scents get you in the holiday spirit. ProFlowers sent me one of these beautiful bouquets. Not only was it beautiful, but it smelled amazing, too. So order your Christmas tulips now at ProFlowers.com. Find the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, click it, and just type in my password, Hartman. That's ProFlowers.com or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 800-PRO-FLOWERS. And don't forget to use my code Hartman with two N's. Remember, order by 6 p.m. tonight to guarantee Christmas Eve delivery. Order now.
Are you waking up with Carl Wolfson and friends?
These are less popular suggestions. Abraham Lincoln.
6 to 9.
The Obama's first dog, what name it could be.
Promise, because he promised the girls and he promised us.
Elephant eater.
How about lipstick?
How about rogue?
You've got to have southpaw. I'd like to give it a local name and name it Mutt Safino, the weather dog.
It's Carl Wolfson.
As Abraham Lincoln said.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Does your company need a new facility? I'm about to tell you something you might not believe, something the conventional construction companies don't want you to know. You can save a surprising amount in both time and money with a new premium quality building. How? Talk with Anthem Steel about a pre-engineered steel building. For valuable free information, just call 1-800-500-8193. Not only does an Anthem Steel building save you time and money, it's also fully customizable. Choose the size you want. Even choose the look of brick, stone, or stucco. And you won't believe how much you can save over conventional construction. This is information traditional construction companies don't want you to know. But if you're on the verge of building a new space, choose a sturdy, pre-engineered steel building from Anthem Steel and put all that extra time and money where it belongs, back into your business. For valuable free information, call 1-800-500-8193. That's 1-800-500-8193. 1-800-500-8193.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
Zoo Lights, presented by Boeing, is back at the Oregon Zoo. See the zoo transformed into a winter wonderland, aglow in a sea of a million lights. Animated animals, entertainment, holiday buffet, and the lighted zoo train make Zoo Lights Portland's premier family holiday event. Information at 620kpoj.com, keyword zoo. Support the Sustainable Business Network this holiday season. Experience the fun and fulfillment that comes from an authentic place, your own community, and choose holiday gifts from locally owned stores, restaurants, and service providers. Info at 620kpoj.com, keyword local. Don't miss the WorkSource Oregon Career Fair, Wednesday, January 14th, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Lloyd Center Mall. It's a great way to meet potential employers and educators from around the state all in one place.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Why does my stuffed up nose make my head feel like it weighs a ton?
Robitussin knows when your sinuses are congested, the pressure can make your head feel heavier. That's why there's Robitussin D, medicine with a powerful decongestant. It helps clear your sinuses and control your cough. Robitussin knows how to clear a stuffed up nose. Ask for Robitussin D at the pharmacy counter. Robitussin made it strong for a reason. Use as directed.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
21 minutes past the hour. I think that this is a very real issue that is not discussed in America. And thanks, by the way, to Sandra Swirsky and the Philanthropy Collaborative for coming on the program. And my apologies to her for her not realizing that we have hard breaks on this show, and that, you know, once the music starts, nothing's going to stop it, including me. So but in any case, that there are these, I think, two worldviews. And I think that Nick Kristof in his op-ed missed it as well, because he didn't talk about it either. And the one worldview is that it's a fine thing. If you have massive social inequality, if you have the very, very wealthy people and very, very poor people, and the consequence of that is that the wealthy people will take care of us, not to worry. They'll set up some charities and everything will be fine. And then we have a society in which at least the social decisions, who gets health care, who gets a meal when they're unemployed, are being made by the very rich. Versus a worldview that I would say is more prevalent or very common, particularly in Northern Europe, particularly among the Scandinavian countries. But, you know, the French share this perspective, the British. And I would say it's one of the reasons why you don't have so much charitable giving in those countries, that it is the job of society to care for those who can't care for themselves. That when Franklin Roosevelt passed this revolutionary thing called the Social Security Old Age Survivors, I forget the whole title of it, but it had the word Insurance Act in it, the original name of the Social Security program, that we collectively were saying, you know, we're all going to care for all of us. And in fact, a third of Social Security payments, while all of the revenue that goes into Social Security comes from working people, and none of it comes from income over $100,000 a year. So very wealthy people pay not a penny after the first $100,000, not a penny of the rest of their wealth. Somebody makes $10 million, on $9.9 million, they don't pay a penny of Social Security income tax or Social Security tax. They make $40 million on $39.9 million. They don't pay a penny of Social Security tax. They make $1 billion. William McGuire, the former chairman and president of United Healthcare, the company that collaborates with the AARP and makes so much money out of Medicaid Part B. William McGuire, $1.78 billion was his compensation. On $9,990,000 of those dollars, he did not pay a single penny of Social Security taxes. And yet a third of Social Security payments go literally to disabled people, widows, and orphans. And in some cases, widowers. To people who can't care for themselves. People like my friend Michael Hutchison, the author, a brilliant guy, who broke his neck, jogging, tripped, and in the ice, fell into a river in Santa Fe and is disabled. And he's living on Social Security. You know, thank God for Social Security. So I hesitate to use the word, but I think maybe we should. The democratic socialist perspective, the perspective that is prevalent in European countries, is that this is the obligation of all of us, that we are our brother's keeper, and that this is one of the appropriate functions of government, whereas the conservative and libertarian perspective is that it's entirely inappropriate for government to get associated with this. That's why George Herbert Walker Bush came up with his 1,000 points of light, that it should be entirely up to us. And the fact of the matter is, I think a synthesis of the two, it makes a certain amount of sense, that the us, those among us who, and this is the interesting thing, that those among us who don't make so much money tend to be, as a percentage of income, the most generous. And, you know, there's a small number of very wealthy people who give a small, in some cases significant, portion of their wealth away. Warren Buffett is giving away most of his wealth. Of course, he's a liberal. I guess that flies in the face of Nick Kristof's theory. But in any case, that we really should be taking care of ourselves as a society and as a culture. And so in those countries, like when we did our show from Denmark last summer, the taxes are higher, but the benefits are more widely distributed. There's an absolute social safety net. You're not devastated if you lose your job. There's 2 years of unemployment benefits, plus everybody has free health care, whether they're employed or not. And so there's not so much of a need for the wealthy to help out. And there are not so many wealthy because the top tax rate is so high. Just like prior to 1880 and during that period from 1913 to 1920 and from 1937 until 1981, there were very, 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 very few dynastic families, very, very wealthy families that emerged and thus foundations that they control. Your thoughts, 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Well, it's also Festivus and Hanukkah and the winter solstice. It's a whole bunch of holidays here. And happy holidays to you.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Our Grinch alert.
You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel. Mr. Grinch, you're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Now, why would it be that our Grinch alert comes from Alaska? I don't know, just a coincidence. Snowzilla is no more. The Associated Press writes, municipal officials in Anchorage have given a cease and desist order to builders of the giant snowman that made appearances the last 3 years in the East Anchorage neighborhood, a favorite for photographers, camera crews from Russia and Japan. Snowzilla rose 16 feet in 2005, but city officials have deemed Snowzilla a public nuisance and a safety hazard. Code enforcers left red signs at Snowzilla's bottom body ball, telling its builders to cease and desist. Try saying that fast four times. Yeah, so Snowzilla is no more. 866-303-2270. Our telephone number. And Dan in Detroit. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I want to just make a point. I was actually fascinated by how appalled Sandra was about your assertion about the foundations. And I think she missed your point in that she was defending the giving, which I think the giving is not a bad thing. But it's the existence of the foundation is the problem. And I think that most people misunderstand it in terms of when you say a dynastic family, if you could expand on that a little bit in terms of a dynasty of wealth. And I agree. It underlies so many problems in our country and I think most people don't think deeply enough to understand it. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. I don't see the foundations themselves a problem. I see them as a symptom of a problem. And the problem is the unequal distribution of wealth in our society. And I realize you use those phrases and people go, oh, my God, it's Marxism. No, it's not. It's communityism. And historically, the way that we dealt with massive imbalances in wealth in this country are, number one, we had strong limits on the ability of a family or people, the Walton family, for example, to accumulate enormous wealth, the kind of wealth that turns the family into a dynasty that becomes a permanent political fixture in American politics. Richard Mellon Scaife is a great example. His endowment of the Heritage Foundation, all these other organizations producing all these right-wing think tanks that have really and truly modified the worldview of so many Americans, I would say much to the detriment of America. I'm sure he would say much to the benefit of America. But nonetheless, they're there. Some would argue George Soros, the same thing on the left side. But the point is that should that kind of wealth been allowed to aggregate, to accumulate in the first place? And that's the basis of my concern about it, frankly. Judy in Idlewild, California. Hey, Judy.
Hi. Well, two things. I agree with you. It's a symptom, this issue with the foundations, because what it means to the other people who don't have foundations is that basically you're not as worthy as the other people who can rise to the point to give you money.
And there's no, by the way, entitlement to a foundation grant. When I was the executive director of the New England-Salem Children's Village, and I was writing grants to foundations begging for money for you know, severely abused kids, and who were almost always coming out of poverty, and we were essentially living in poverty at the time, and everybody working in the organization, I mean, my paycheck was $25 a week plus room and board for 4 years, and we would go to these foundations basically hat in hand saying, please, please. And on the other hand, there was a certain minimum stipend that the state had to pay for those kids. It wasn't enough to pay for clothes. It wasn't enough to pay for Christmas presents. It wasn't enough to pay for, you know, anything other than, you know, macaroni and cheese kind of food. It was required.
It just contributes to this whole feeling of in Europe, if the countries that you mentioned in Denmark, which I think was listed as one of the people are the happiest in the world because they know,
yes,
if they're sick, they're not going to be out on the street. They know that their kids can go to school. They know that there's certain, there's certain things for them. So it's a more democratic thing. It's not even just rich and poor. It's like, it's not democratic if certain people can make this much amount of money and other people have to struggle for every penny.
Right.
And I think the people that are in the position with the foundations, they don't realize it. They've never walked in those shoes, or they haven't for generations, and they're surrounded in this bubble of other people who are in the same position, and they just don't get it.
On the other hand, at the same time, let's not pick on the people in the foundations, particularly who are working in them,
fantastic.
Because many of the people who work for foundations are just middle-class folks, who have a job.
Well, given the way it is, it's fabulous that at least that's there. I mean, otherwise the people who have the money could just keep it and not do anything. I mean, at least it's there for some purpose, but it's just the whole structure of it is so twisted that it doesn't, it just reinforces the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, I would say that it's not the existence of the foundations or even the operation of the foundations that does that. It's the operation of our tax code and our laws with regard to corporate structure and corporate governance. And
exactly. It's built that way to make it be this way, and it doesn't benefit the
right
most number of people.
Exactly. What we have – well said, Judy. Thank you very much. What we have right now is a plutocracy. A plutocracy is a government run by and for the rich, and most influenced by the very wealthy. And plutocracies historically deteriorate into kleptocracies. Kleptocracies like Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe are actually, probably more than half the countries in the world are kleptocracies. That is to say, you have ruling families or ruling groups who not only are very wealthy, but they acquire much of their wealth by stealing it from the people in the country and putting it in their back pocket. And conservatives like to caricature liberals as being kleptocrats, saying, oh, they want to take your money. Well, it's not they want to take your money. It's that we collectively want to take your money, if you want to just be blunt about it, to say that we all have a social obligation to ourselves, to society. And the conservative or the libertarian meme is that there is no such thing as society, that we are a group of individuals, period. And the traditional liberal meme going back literally to the founders of this country is that, no, society is the first element. Well, family is the first element, but society's extension of family is the first element, and that everything else draws out of that. So we'll see. Greg in Cucamonga, listening
yes,
to K-Talk.
Cucamonga.
Cucamonga. Yes. Hey, Greg, what's up?
Well, I'm another caller about the lady, Sandra. She definitely did not get your point. She was just, the concept wasn't even familiar to her. It wasn't even clear to her. So she felt attacked. I've got to say about Bush's 1,000 points of light, when that occurred, I couldn't eludicate the ideas. You're great at that. But the ideas are not getting across. I just had a vague feeling, hey, this 1,000 points of light is wrong because there's over 250 million people, and that's not going to help. But now when you talk about the example of social democracies, you know, there's an argument that can be, or a comparison that can be put out there, but people just don't get it. And Sandra is just, you know, she needs to be on your show for an hour so you can explain it to her.
Well, maybe I didn't explain it well, but and I think you're right. She perhaps misunderstood what I was saying, but or perhaps not. I mean, perhaps we just share profoundly different worldviews. I think we both agree that, you know, it's wonderful if somebody has amassed enormous wealth and they want to give it away and they want to put it into a foundation, and whether they accrue any tax benefit or not, many of them accrue very little. You know, ultimately, I mean, Warren Buffett, he's giving away everything. So, yeah, why would he want a tax benefit out of that? Pretty much everything. But, you know, the question, the larger question, the societal question, the one that we need to grapple with, and, you know, well said, Greg, at the level of society, of a culture, of a political body, of a polis, is should we allow this kind of wealth to aggregate in the first place? And that's where I'm, you know, where I have a problem with this. Gene in San Francisco. Hey, Gene.
Oh, hi, Tom. I'd like to make 3 points about this. I worked in a nonprofit. Tax-free nonprofit foundation system is inefficient and flawed, especially compared to what you were saying about, like, Denmark. They duplicate the administration costs. Those all the money, so much of it is eaten up in so many different separate administrative systems for each of these foundations. And then the huge amounts of donations go right back into fundraising costs. So it's like a circle of costs. And then there's such – you talking about the possibility of a kleptocracy happening here.
Well, I would say it's happened here over the last 6 years, frankly.
Yeah, it's some of these foundations, this is what happens to them. Their board members start funneling money. There's a local foundation here that just drives me crazy. They are supposed to be for the needy, the monies, but now the monies are going into, are being funneled into property developers under the guise of serving people. So they become very self-serving.
Well, this is my point about when I was writing grants for the Salem Children's Village, salemchildrensvillage.org, if you're looking for a good holiday charity. And that was that basically I was going to these foundations saying, will you please help out these children? When in my humble opinion to this day, and thank you, Gene, for your call, in my humble opinion to this day, we shouldn't have to be asking wealthy people to help these children out. They're our children. I mean, they've been taken away from their parents because their parents, I mean, we had one kid whose brother was starved to death in the basement, and when they found Tony, the other kid, the kid that we had in our program, he was near death. Shouldn't we all be taking care of him?
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman. Guys, I know how easy it is to get wrapped up in everyday life. You just flat out ignore your health. I hate to point out the obvious, but sometimes we need to be reminded that without our health, life as we know it becomes extremely difficult. Let me take a few seconds to talk about prostate health and how this small gland can lead to big problems if you ignore it. The classic signs of an unhealthy prostate include the following: difficulty urinating, frequent night bathroom trips, and even sexual dysfunction. Unfortunately, every man will have some sort of prostate-related health issue if he lives long enough. And we all should, right? You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to support proper prostate function. Ignoring your prostate will not make your problems go away. Beta Prostate provides effective, all-natural support. Call and order Beta Prostate risk-free today. Dial 1-800-954-0803. Your satisfaction is guaranteed, or your money back. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Ed Schultz.
The biggest story on the face of this earth is America. What do you really think of your workers?
Noon to 3.
The partisan divide is alive and well. The attack on the working folk of America is now in full gear. What's the difference between the governor of Illinois selling off a Senate seat,
the Ed Schultz Show,
and some southern Republican senator protecting his backside for the next election?
Noon to 3.
By cutting the head off American auto manufacturer.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Are the monthly payments you're receiving from a structured settlement not enough to keep up with your expenses? Do you need cash now? Well, now you can get the future money owed to you in a lump sum. For free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding, 1-800-300-7153.
The money I was getting every month from my lawsuit just wasn't enough. Now we have the cash to finally pay off our credit cards.
Find out how you can turn your structured settlement into cash now, when you need it most, to pay off the bills that are piling up now.
Our adjustable rate mortgage payments were out of control. If we hadn't gotten this money, we might have ended up losing our house.
Getting this money was like getting my life back. Now I know I can pay my bills every month.
If you have a structured settlement, get the future money you have coming to you now. For your free information, call Peachtree Settlement Funding at 1-800-300-7153. That's 1-800-300-7153. 1-800-300-7153.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-900-1665. That's 1-800-900-1665. Or go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
This week only, you can get the new TomTom 1-125 for under $100. It's the GPS that works right out of the box. And at just $99.95, it's the perfect holiday gift at the perfect price. TomTom. Go confidently.
So you love listening to the radio. At work. At the park. At the gym. At your kids' play. Well, all thanks to the iHeartRadio app on your iPhone. Download it for free at iHeartRadio.com. We think you'll heart it a lot.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 866-303-2270. Our telephone number, your support group for We the People of the United States of America. And Ellen in Vermont listening on WKVT. Hey, Ellen. Welcome.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of your show and your thinking. Thank you for everything you do. But I was listening to the call with the woman about philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that before we start applauding philanthropy by the very rich, we actually need to question extreme wealth.
Well, that was my point. Is the existence of philanthropy at the level of foundations set up by dynastic families of a social ill? And I think it is.
Yeah,
and
why would we need it? I mean, it's evidence that the system is rigged. The fact that people are taking much more than they need means that the rest of us have to fight for access to basic things.
Yeah.
The fact
of
extreme wealth is evidence of something really out of balance.
Right.
Not
and
because, that woman was not even willing to question people that people have too much money.
Right. And that's a basic tenet of the conservative worldview is that extreme wealth is just fine. Thank you very much. What are you talking about?
And they give a smaller percentage of their money than poor people do.
As a percentage, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ellen, thank you very much. Well said. Tony in Minneapolis. Hey, Tony, what's up?
Hi, Tom, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you for
all the work you're doing.
And to you,
hey,
too.
Hey, Tom, on the topic following up on the last caller, I think there is an element of the Jim Crow legacy when it comes to social services and the help of being your brother's keeper in this country,
It's not just an element of it. There's a huge, superstructure underneath it. It's what holds the glacier up, as it were. It's the, You know, it's racism in this country is still with us, and it's the reason, you know, whites have multi-generational wealth, even middle-class whites, and it's the reason why so many African-American families don't have, you know, they may have the same income, but they don't have the same wealth.
Correct. And if you look at the talk show, the righties talk show, whether it's Michael Savage or O'Reilly, who do they beat up upon, you know?
Mm.
It's the Mexican immigrant, the poor black mother who's trying to feed herself, you know, calling her welfare queens, you know, because they don't look like them, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's racism is alive and well in the United States. Tony, well said. Thank you very much. Chris in Madison, Wisconsin. And it's part of the same dimension of social ills. On one extreme is the result of racism. The other extreme is the result of a lack of tax and corporate policy that produces this massive wealth. Chris in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Tom. I was hoping you didn't mind if we talked for a moment about the selection of Rick Warren.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, because, you know, all right. First of all, I voted for Obama. I helped campaign for him as part of the GLBT movement for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Warren is disappointing, kind of like, well, okay, let's say the campaign's like American Idol, right? Okay, so we go and we listen to all these people sing their tunes, and we decide we vote, we like Obama's tune the best, and then we wait and wait for his first album to come out, and the first track on the first album involves Rick Warren, and we go, whoa, what is this?
Yeah, it is a dissonant note. On the other hand, did you read Melissa Etheridge's blog over on Huffington Post yesterday?
Well, yeah, and so what I'm actually hoping to tell people to do is, look, just hit the fast forward button of the next track. You know, if you don't like this track, there's going to be at least another 12 on this album called Obama that I'm sure you're going to love. So,
yeah.
You know,
okay, well said, Chris. And let me add to that. This is, and I think this is the point of what Melissa Etheridge was saying, and God bless her. You know, Rick Warren actually reached out to her. Well, she reached out to him, and he responded. And had a long conversation with her, and she was very encouraged by it, that he might be experiencing, now, you know, maybe this is Pollyanna, but Pollyanna was actually a pretty healthy worldview, in my humble opinion. In fact, it's one of the best books on neurolinguistic programming that's ever been written, the original 1902 book, Pollyanna. But nonetheless, that he may be undergoing a transformation in his thinking as a consequence of this, as he did a decade ago about global warming. I mean, this may be a new generation of open-minded conservative evangelicals. And let's keep in mind, Barack Obama got a lot of evangelical votes. And wouldn't it be great if our side started getting a lot more evangelical votes, because evangelical Americans are increasingly becoming concerned about God's creation, about the environment, increasingly becoming concerned about global warming, increasingly becoming concerned about the things that Jesus actually talked about, like poverty, you know, all those kind of things. I think that that's, you know, so maybe it may perhaps have the unintended, arguably, consequence of transforming Rick Warren. We'll see. John in Vancouver. Hey, John.
Tom, good to talk to you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
You are talking about one of the central issues that should be the leading progressive discussion. It's not the accumulation of great wealth. Wealth is fine. It's that society is doing government's business through the American Cancer Society, through the Red Cross, through Jerry Lewis's telethon. If that were done by government, we would have no need for these things.
Yeah, and the conservative response to that is, what, you're going to take my money with a gun called taxes? You know, I can go to jail if I don't pay it. You're going to take my money, and you're going to decide that you want to help people, children with muscular dystrophy? I don't want to help children with, you know, that's the whole, you know, conservative rebuttal to it. And my response to that is, no, I think as a society, we actually are our brothers. I actually am my brother's keeper, and you too, John, and all of us. And at a certain level, we have to acknowledge that and organize ourselves in a way that rationally takes care of all of us in a way that's meaningful. To continue on this conversation, tomorrow, my old friend Rabbi Michael Lerner is going to join us. We're going to talk about Hanukkah and Christmas, when hope triumphs over cynical realism. Cynical realism. And our Everything You Know Is Wrong, have you been naughty or nice this year? Rumor has it maybe the man in the big red suit will drop by. And, of course, the best of the rest of the news and your calls right here on the Tom Hartman Program. Don't forget, democracy begins with you, my friends. Tag, you're it. Get out there, get active. See you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.